Welcome to the Fear Fiction Podcast. Fear fic is the term for short horror fiction, mostly posted on the web. It includes any and all related subgenres. Join three assholes, talking basement goo slime beast, inebriated interstellar traveler Abysme, and irritable ghostly man whore Dead Palette, as they read all stories horror and internet related, paragraph by paragraph, and bullshit while they do it. From adolescent revenge fantasies to subtle postmodern narratives about real-life events and everything in between, they read it and critique. You better believe it. Kick it to the cold open, white boy.
Going to Kentucky tomorrow.
Why, sorry.
To visit the first KFC, the birthplace of Kentucky Fried Chicken, and to visit Colonel Sanders' cave. Colonel Sanders' cave?
where he rose after 3 days.
His cave
is not so final resting place during the chicken prohibition era.
He ascended into heaven, leaving behind a trail of feathers. But you're gonna see his cave. You're gonna see
his grave, and also gonna see Mammoth Cave.
I see.
And we're going to be staying, Chelsea and I are going to be staying in a teepee at one point.
Nice.
A hotel where it's inside, and inside are teepees.
So there are teepees in the hotel rooms?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
What was your idea for a cold open? Do we want this to be a cold open?
That's the cold open right there. Now, now, Brandon, I have to ask, are you going to have a teepee for your bunghole?
God damn it. Man, I watched a little bit of Beavis and Butthead recently, enjoyed it. Man, it's dated, but it's good. It's not good, but it's tight. So that's going to be enjoyable, going to sleep in a teepee. I don't know how showers work there. I'm hoping that it's just a communal orgy and you just help each other out.
Probably. It's not a European hostel. Come on.
No.
You probably bathe in the runoff from Colonel Sanders' cave.
Let the spices chicken flow grease over you. Yeah,
I never really thought about it, but yeah, Jesus had a cave grave.
Mm, that's true. And to celebrate,
maybe that's what happened. Is they killed him, and then the Romans were just like, "All right, take him to here's the note that says what you're supposed to do with him," and it said, take him to a cave, and it was just a typo.
Right.
Place him in the cave.
What actually happened was they killed him, and the Roman guards said, where do we throw him?
Put him in that cave! Yeah, come on! Just leave him! Come on! I want to go to the Colosseum!
Yeah, that rules.
They say we should, take him down. No! Stab him! Stab him!
Now listen, don't ruin this for me. Come on now. You two, get him in that cave.
My headcanon is that Pontius Pilate was two people, and those two people are Beavis and Butthead now.
Yeah, there you go. My name is Pontius. What now?
And Beavis and Butthead are also secretly both Obama.
That's true. I was actually going to say, when Beavis and Butthead was brought up, I remember being a kid and seeing Beavis and Butthead, like, at someone else's house where they actually had cable.
That's good that you remember being a kid.
Yeah, I remember being a kid.
I'm glad you don't have retrograde amnesia.
Yeah, I don't have that yet. But I remember talking to somebody and saying, yeah, you know, I've seen a couple episodes of Beavis and Butthead, you know, because it was cool to be able to have seen that, to be allowed to watch it. And I said, there was this episode where they found a car battery on the side of the road and started shocking themselves with it until they, you know, died and went to heaven. And then I realized, as I was saying it, I realized, oh shit, that's what I dreamt after I watched it that night. And I was like, oh god, I'm actually just lying about having seen an episode. And I didn't have any way to express that, so I just continued with it and said, yep, that's an episode I saw, goodbye.
No. I remember. That was a real episode.
Oh yeah. Remember how Beavis and Butthead found that car battery? And remember how they shocked themselves with it? Yes, I mean,
that show's kind of impenetrable in that you could make up crazy shit and everyone would be like, yeah, probably.
Yeah. And my parents came in and said, better. Why are you watching a commercial for Bakugan? I don't know.
Bakugan.
instead of static, it was just a commercial for something else.
No, that's I love this idea for a lost episode of Beavis and Butthead. They just electrocute each other with car batteries.
Well, part of it was they set up a roadside like lemonade stand, and they would let people shock themselves for a certain price, and it was like a god. It was a god. It was a stand where it just said "See God, 25 cents."
that's good.
So I don't know, but yeah. Anyway, speaking of seeing God, someone here is the god of storage units. Is that a good segue?
Sure.
Yeah, right.
I've come to you, oh god of storage units. I'm paid minimum wage to sit here.
Yeah.
No, so we are going to be reading Fleming Storage Unit number 2,
ooh.
Frightful Failures.
Ooh.
And I don't know if we, and it's by Corner and Chair. Corner and Chair. Whose favorite pasta is Tito Taster, which I wrote.
Stock
up.
Yeah, I sense some ass kissing there.
Mm-hmm.
Pandering.
But the the judging's over. What the fuck does it matter? But the I don't know if I mentioned this. We will not be reading every Fleming Storage Unit here. I will be reading some on Dead Serious and just any place that we can get them read. Because if we tried to read them all here, it would take forever. So,
yeah, I know Abysme is doing a couple.
He can, yeah. We can split this up if you guys want to. But we're going to be tackling it here from 1, 2, 3, and I'm going to be tackling it on my channel from 132 down, and then we'll meet in the middle at some point.
And then we have to fight to the death.
And yeah,
you have to fight yourself to the death because you're on both channels. So.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right.
So I am excited for this. I like Frightful Failures. That's a good title. This is a whip. A work in progress.
I see. A whip without the H.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
So
wipe. Maybe it's a wipe.
That's true. White idiosyncratic.
Nationalist.
White nationalist, yes. This is... Okay, Corner and Chair... No, I'm just kidding. I'm not going to go there. their avatar is anime, and nobody who likes anime could be a white supremacist, so...
No.
I am so fucked. That's exactly
about the story.
Yeah. With that white nationalist joke, I'm sure we are. I am so fucked. That's exactly what I was thinking when I got to the Fleming storage units. I was standing right outside Unit 2, key in hand, ex-girlfriend staring holes into my thick winter coat. I had fucked this up so bad. How did I get here?
How did I get here? Well,
let me tell you.
Yeah. Cool. I can identify with this protagonist so far.
Yes.
Got a bitchy ex-girlfriend. He's got a key. Those are both things I've had in the past.
Have you ever had a winter coat?
Not really. I get, yeah, maybe. I suppose so, technically.
But was the winter coat thick?
It's pretty thick. It didn't have any holes stared into it, though.
Okay.
So, Abysme, I believe this is you. Are you going to read the tildes, or?
Tildy, tildy, tildy.
Now,
God
listen.
Damn it.
Tildy, tildy, tildy. When we hired you at the White House, you were just supposed to clean. Now you're bringing in customers. You're dancing for them. I don't know.
God damn it! I muttered as my head lolled back. The varnished wood of the dorm chair digging into my neck. If I was going to get stuff from the unit, I had to go that day. It was the 12th already. I had a full day of classes Friday and worked a full shift at Walmart Saturday. So we know our protag is a student.
Hmm. And we've gone back in time. So when we said, how did we get here, the tildes, I think, are pronounced Yeah. I pinched the skin of my wrist between my fingernails, wincing at the pain, not dreaming.
This is a real episode of Beavis and Butthead. And then I shocked myself with a car battery, and then I realized I am Butthead.
Yeah, that's right. That would be, yeah, I could see that. I hunched forward and thought, great, Cool, cool, cool. I kicked against the back of my desk. I almost said that. I almost thought that said the back of my neck. I kicked against the back of my neck.
I'm really fucking flexible.
Yeah. I kicked against the back of my desk, scooting my chair out and probably scuffing the floor, judging by the shrill screeching noise. I'd taped the key under the desk for a while. But that was sophomore year in the apartment. I was a junior now and working as an RA in a totally different room. So his key is taped under a desk in a different room.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
His? Her? I don't know.
This is good though. That's a sweet gig in college, being an RA.
Mm. Kicking desks, scuffing floors,
living the dream, yeah. But not dreaming. Oh Christ! I hope it didn't. Woof. Sorry guys. I eat some really spicy chips and then drank like 3 bottles of water to cool my tongue down.
Good idea.
And oh Christ, I hope I didn't leave it taped under the desk. I bent down, craning my neck up to see if I had just done it again. Other than just the slightly darker wood grain, there was nothing.
I thought it was in a different room. I guess I was wrong.
That's kind of what I thought too.
There was nothing. Absolute darkness. All that I see.
No key.
No key. Dead keys.
Damn it. Dead keys.
Son of a bitch.
Sorry. I was going to say dead keys does sound like a creepypasta title, but anyway.
Maybe that would be my resort if I ever had a...
dead keys, yeah.
I just like somehow there's a repo man and I found out that I inherited like Key West or like sandals or something. I'm like, welcome to Key Palette. Dead key.
It's the name of the Black Keys when they were a grindcore band. Before they realized they should sell out. Mm-hmm. Son of a bitch, I sucked in a deep breath, so deep my lungs hurt. If the key wasn't under the desk, it had to be in one of my gray crates, didn't it? I'd never find it in those. Hell, last time I used it was to put away my climbing rope and harness after I'd broken an arm and a leg at Blackleaf Canyon over the summer. I've been out with Oliver and my rope was cut on Big Brother is Watching. That's the name of a climb? That's fucking awesome. Hmm. The doctor said it was lucky I wasn't dead, taking that fall almost all the way up a 510D. Damn, yeah, that's hard. For anybody who doesn't know rock climbing ratings, 5.5 is like beginner. When you get up to 10, it's kind of tough.
A 510D is not that hard to take. I mean, it's below average. Come on.
Especially since I wasn't an adept climber. I wasn't even a good climber. Then why were you on a 510D?
I don't know. Maybe
ask for it.
Maybe he was trying to get down.
I don't know. 510D is actually it's pretty big, right? Right, guys? That's pretty
yeah,
big.
Sure, sure.
In centimeters.
Mm-hmm, sure.
It's huge.
That's when I realized I had the key with me during the summer. I had still been living with Mona and Oliver. I shipped them as Molliver. then, and kept it in my travel bag. I jerked back toward my desk and conked my head against it. Shit! Fuck! I rubbed the back of my head with one hand and reached for my phone with the other. Stupid fucking Christ! I'm so stupid. So our narrator is Jesus Christ. I dialed up her number.
So what I'm getting from this is with the cursing and the fucking... And the cursing and the fucking... The cursing and the crass language, the shits and the fucks, I'm thinking Beavis and Butthead, because we were already thinking that.
Right.
But with how clumsy they are, I'm starting to think that they're like a clumsy protagonist from a really generic anime, just like a really generic schoolgirl who's clumsy and ditzy.
I think it's Supergirl from the hit TV show Supergirl. Anyway, why don't you continue, DP?
Kara, Mona picked up almost immediately. Isn't that Supergirl's name, Kara?
Yeah, it is.
Shit.
It's almost like I read a line down. But I didn't. I'm psychic. That's...
Baka. I mean, hey, Baka. Mona. You said I left my travel bag at your place, yeah?
That was months ago. I could see her round face scrunch up in my head, causing her pink cheeks to puff out as her usually gentle brown eyes got that dangerous, sharp look to them, So this is the axe.
Like a Jigglypuff?
Like a Jigglypuff. I can hear the marker uncapping.
Yes. Maybe that's what happened is they had sex and then he fell asleep and Mona's like, and then pulls out the marker and
so you
writes
think,
on his face, we're going to need a break.
You think Kara, what is Kara? Is that not the name?
No, that's going to be the ex-girlfriend, I think.
Weird. I thought our protagonist's name was Kara.
Yeah, I'm a little confused.
Oh, wait.
All I know is this person has a lot of X's taped under their desk. I don't know.
Maybe it is a protag. I don't know.
I sighed. Christ. I had sure fucked this up. I know. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to. Well, I did. But I swear I wasn't trying to hurt you or Oliver by doing it. I just need to be away from you two.
Ooh.
Okay. So we need to figure out what the issue is. Here was the thing with Mona and Oliver. Or Molliver. When we had been together, they were always so clingy. I know they just wanted to protect me and that they love me, but I never felt quite right.
Threesome, so what,
is that the thing? Do we got some threes company going on here?
I think so.
Probably.
I mean, that happens where you get into a three-way relationship and the terms and conditions aren't clearly spelled out. It's
come
hard.
Knock
though.
On my door. Knock it, on my door.
Sign this
come.
Waiver for you.
I don't know if that's exactly what's happening or not, but that is kind of like an issue. Is just like, all right, we're a couple and we want to date you, but it's like you've known the couple has known each other way longer than the other person, so it's like really lopsided and weird.
And plus, you don't want to be, you know, you're being super paid attention to, and then the other two are sort of silently begrudging each other. It's like,
I want to fuck. I want a liquor pussy. Guys, you can fuck me and lick me at the same time.
Article 3 clearly states. Anyway.
But Abysme is not a lawyer, for anybody wondering.
Not a lawyer. She didn't say anything for a while. Fine. Yes, you did. Do you need it?
Abysme isn't a lawyer, but he is a threesome counselor.
Mm-hmm.
Family.
That's true.
He is an open marriage counselor.
He finds his clients on Craigslist, but... Yeah, could you bring it to 451 Pollock Street? I threaded my fingers through my hair, remembering how Oliver used to do the same and tell me it was the same color as Mona's blue... beautiful eyes. If her hair was the same color as the blue eyes, then yeah, okay. I know what kind of college this is!
Only if you buy me a milkshake at Inspector Moo Moo's and come visit us.
And come visit us. That's italicized
and,
text.
Oh, yeah.
Emphasis.
So you have to bring a milkshake, and then your milkshake has to bring Oliver to the yard. And then he says it's better than Mona's, and then it's just awkward.
Then Article 4 gets violated.
Yeah, is there... Oh, guys, I'm really confused, though. Because, like, is there... Oliver typically is a woman's name. I mean, sure. It's typically a man's name, but it can be a woman's name. So, is there some cuckery about? Woman, male cuckery?
We don't know.
Where the man is cucking the lesbian?
Wait, what?
We're definitely going to find out through, probably through dialogue. Which I'm okay with. I kind of like how it's revealed that way.
Yeah, it's purposefully awkward, I think. But I'm an idiot, so I'm having trouble following.
So
it.
your theory
it's very disjointed, but it's on purpose.
Okay.
Yeah, your theory is that we have some lesbuckery going on.
Well, cuck queening is the term, but that typically involves nothing but women. But I enjoy cucking women.
So I was here, ready for my life to rather metaphorically end in a truly amazing explosion as I pulled the cold metal shutter, keeping it at bay.
Okay, so we're back to opening up the storage unit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Did have tilly-tilly.
And I chimed in with, haven't you ever heard of pulling the cold metal door?
God damn it.
The unit itself was almost
Painful. That's fine. Just skip me. That's fine. That's fine. I'm not here. That's fine. Okay. Slime Beast, who's
Yuri.
He?
Yuri.
No, we don't know who that is. Fine. Be that way. I quit. I'm tired of doing this show. Goodbye.
I'm taking a drink.
The unit itself was almost painfully normal. It only had what a lot of people would consider junk. A metal fold-out chair with a broken leg. Why would... Okay. With an empty can of Rip-It sitting as best as it could on it. Hmm?
That was part of the challenge. They had to put in...
can of Rip-It.
Nice. There for a second, I was popping because it's like, yeah, dollar store energy drinks. And then I realized, oh, yeah, that was my inclusion. I decided the story needed that.
Oh, wait, I forced that upon them.
Yes. I was like, yeah, good to... Oh, that was me. Sorry.
Next to that was my climbing gear, a thick red and yellow dynamic rope that had been crudely cut, tangled up with blue-gray tassels I'd gotten from graduation, which were fashioned into a sad, loose noose.
The loose is noose. Or the noose is loose.
Hey, boys, meet me at the loose noose. We're all going to kill ourselves. Okay, boys.
What?
Okay.
No, maybe it's like one of those really cheesy, like, after-school special things where, like, a group of suicide preventers comes into your school. Everyone get ready for the hip-hop collective Loose Noose. And it's just like... God. Made up of rappers who contemplated suicide but didn't go through with it.
Hey kids, if things go bad, don't cook your goose, just loosen the noose. Loosen the noose. Come on, everybody. Just drink some juice. Don't kill yourself. Get some juice off the shelf.
Oh, fucking hell. Okay, sad loose noose.
Nobody ever draw the loose noose rap suicide prevention group, ever.
No one ever think about doing that.
I'm not even going to say it. Never mind.
Don't you dare put nooses around their necks with frayed ends and scissors in their hands.
Like ties.
I should say that if they're rappers coming to your school to sing about stopping suicide, they should all be like painfully uncool white people.
Yes.
And just so we avoid any mistaken connotations about why you're tweeting us these news pictures.
Well, all of them are white except for one token black guy.
No.
Who you can tell is like toning down everything he's doing to fit their awful, awful performances.
Yeah, and don't and draw him in the news, please. Don't do that.
I already said don't draw this shit.
Don't draw this. Disney's not a lawyer and don't draw this.
Listen, somebody's going to draw this. The more you tell them not to, the more they want to do it. Wait. Oh, no. Somebody should tell that to the rap crew. The more you rap about it, the more they want to do it.
Moses Lack is their hero. Not today, old friend.
My pink and white harness... with three carabiners?
Carabiners. I think that's actually the correct spelling.
I'm not going to say that because that's racist. Hooked on at different places, and a black... Everything is racist in this story. And a black chef kit. Why can't it just be a chef person? Why do you have to be like
that? Well, keep going.
Closed tight with a stark white zip tie. God! Everything is racist.
I'm trying to figure out what a black chef kit would, like, teach you how to make.
Oh, no.
No.
There are several very obvious answers which must not be said because they're terrible.
I have one that I think I can get away with without being in trouble.
Uh-huh.
Check it out. Wonder if I can navigate these Mission Impossible red wires. Gumbo.
Okay, anyway, next up is Dead Pallet, who's reading this line verbatim.
Kara, Mona grabbed the back of my coat. You kept all this?
So I shuffled in.
I just realized, we got, like, a noose, and we've got a chair with a broken leg.
You're right.
Good catch.
Okay, maybe. I shuffled in. No, I picked up the empty can. I mean, I guess I did. Pretty stupid in hindsight. I'd apparently chugged this can of Citrus X with a handful of pills. Bona found me passed out on the floor and had me rushed to the hospital. Ooh, yep, okay. Second suicide implication.
Second suicide, that was right before, by the way, was my improv group back when I was at the institution.
That was right before I was supposed to take a trip to New York with old friends. Interesting.
It was called Second Suicide because you would do two different shows a night and you would bomb at both of them.
The worst part is it was at an institution, actually, and you know, we all had checkered pasts, and we would get up on stage in our little white outfits, you know, like standard issue, and we'd say to the audience of other patients, we'd say, you know, name a profession, and they would be like, suicider, and be like, God damn it, no! We're trying to get away from that. We're trying to be positive. Here, let's do our rap, guys. But, yeah.
Yeah. No, I enjoyed it.
Let's see, what do we got here? Mona strode by me and picked up the blue-gray tassel noose. This is what happened to your honors tassels? Mm.
I looked at the broken chair, and I thought about how it represented my... No. Mm. Yeah, I thought Oliver would have told you. I didn't remember exactly what happened that night. Oliver and I had been drinking pretty heavily, but he rushed in and scooped me up in his warm arms just long enough to get the amateur noose off me. That was just after I had decided I was going to reapply to school and move into the dorms. Wait, so he's reapplied to school and he's like, I want to move into the dorms, and then he tries to commit suicide, or she tries to commit suicide.
I think it's a she, yeah, at this point.
Unless Kara stands for like Caramel or something, I don't know.
No, that's just her prostitute name.
Oh, okay.
Yes. Oliver the woman, and Caramel also the man.
I think what happened is that our protag did very well, hence the honors tassels, in high school, and didn't know if she wanted to go into college possibly, and then got involved with Molliver. Mm-hmm. And something happened there. Tried to kill herself. Oliver saved her, and she got her life back together and went to college. I think that's what happened. Could be wrong.
Okay, I just gotta break kayfabe for a second. This whole time, I've been trying to find an Oliver and Company joke, but there's not one here, and it's frustrating. I'm upset. Well,
Three's Company, Three's Oliver Company.
The cat's out of the bag on their relationship? I don't know.
Mm.
Is this me now?
I think it's... No, it's me.
Oh, okay. Well, I don't know what's going on.
Mona's face scrunched up. Kara, she dropped the tassels and made vague grabbing motions at my... I just have the image of dropping it and, like, reaching out, but with two hands very awkwardly.
Suddenly she became a zombie.
I didn't still love you, I would kill you. That's in poor taste. She kicked the chef's kit, a memento from our days in culinary school. Before the knives that had once been covered sweet pink had been covered in or with sweet pink frosting from cut cakes. Jesus.
Cut cakes was my film school club.
Cut cakes became covered in my own blood that I didn't remember putting on them. Oh, jeez. So,
God.
Attempted hanging, pills, and cutting. Wow, okay.
I looked over in the corner at the blown-out shotgun. Then I looked over at the aquarium of dead piranhas. Then I looked over...
I just noticed the CO2 that was spilling in and then turned it off from the car that I had left in here.
God damn it.
I met Mona and Oliver there, and okay, met him at culinary school. And after that incident, I'd moved in with them because they seemed to care. Right.
Okay. So, I think the first legitimate, real, type negative criticism we can make here is maybe they don't need to be trying to commit suicide in every which way.
Maybe.
Maybe they would have a preferred method. Like, I have no desire to kill myself, but I would do it with a gun because I lack art. I'm pragmatic.
I lack art, said the artist. I can see that. Yeah, it might be building up to something though. I don't know. Like there may be a reason for it, but I could
have
be wrong.
I have heard of people doing like two. Like they take a bunch of pills and they maybe slit their wrists or try to hang themselves. But like three is a bit much. And they're all like different tasks that involve like different motor functions and shit. So yeah, it seems a bit excessive.
What if you just set them all up? You just pull
some Rube Goldberg machine.
It's a Rube Goldberg
suicide.
The marble got jammed, otherwise I'd be dead today. But
it's like Mousetrap, but for real.
I'm sorry. That's in quotation marks, and that's my line, I guess.
She jabbed her finger up my butt. She jabbed her finger at my chest. You're going to leave all of this for the police, and you're not going to buy me two milkshakes?
Wait.
I don't know why I was doing that as a question. You're going to leave all of this for the police, and you're going to buy me two milkshakes. Okay, so that's a cool character motivation. Like, one, buy me shit. And then two, you need to leave all these memories behind.
Yeah. Yeah, you need to leave all these memories behind, and you need to fatten me up.
You just gotta come to grips with the fact that you suck at trying to kill yourself.
Right.
You gotta get this hobby behind you because you're not good at it.
That would actually be an interesting reveal at the end. It was like I gave up my hobby of trying to commit suicide that day, and instead I took up knitting. But
I started out knitting nooses because it was the only thing I knew.
But I used really inferior twine, so it never quite worked.
Yeah.
I slapped her hand away. You don't get to order me around or get mad at me.
You kept things from every time you almost died. She gestured wildly around her, casting a few loose down feathers from her old silver coat. I could see that. Wait a minute! Is she Colonel Sanders in disguise?
I was thinking she's Miss Peacock from Clue.
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
I didn't keep all of it, I shouted back. I didn't keep you and Oliver.
Oh, shit.
I pushed her out of the storage unit, and I locked them all up here. I crossed my arms and glanced back at the nearly empty unit of almosts. Okay, that's a good phrase.
Yeah.
A nearly empty unit of almosts, then at Mona. And I kept you two far away, where you couldn't keep hurting me.
So we have Kara, some rough trade going on.
We do. Kara, Mona tucked a strand of her caramel-colored hair behind her ear. Is that really how you feel about me and Oliver? Should be Oliver and I?
Well, I mean, Mona's an idiot, so...
She went to culinary school.
She went to culinary school. What do you expect? She's a moron.
Oh, that was
jeez, abysm me. Not everybody can be
that.
A lawyer. Good
I don't
God.
Mean that.
Okay, so wait. We need the sexiest reading of this line possible.
Uh-oh. Let me just try to get a deep voice going here. Ladies! A police officer walked up to us. Is everything okay? She pushed her hat. Another. Why are there so many women in this story? Come on now. You're pushing an agenda here. I'm just kidding. She pushed her hat up slightly, revealing just enough of her black hair that smoothly contrasted her tanned skin.
Hot.
Well, yeah. I think with all of the polyamory here, I think the story is really trying to take a hammer to the family unit. Okay, I gotta be real. I stole that joke from somebody.
God damn it. Well, as long as you don't say who, then nobody can find out. Nobody can look it up.
No. Fine, I turned and grabbed the shutter. Just a small fight. I pulled it down and locked it up. I was done here anyway.
Kara, Mona reached out for my hand.
I smacked it away again. Buy your own damn milkshakes. I'm going home. I started towards the parking lot to just leave this place behind.
But what about visiting me and Oliver? She was only a few steps behind.
I unlocked my car. Find someone else to leech off of, Mona. I'm done. I got it and slammed the door shut, leaving the Fleming storage units and a lot of almosts behind me.
Mm. So,
they were leeching off her, but she was living with them?
Oliver and Mona were vampires the entire time.
Well, that doesn't mean that. That doesn't mean that Kara wasn't paying rent.
But then it isn't really leeching. Is she paying the entire mortgage?
Like, she was paying it.
I think they mean like emotionally leeching off Kara.
I guess.
I think that Kara felt like she was being used in the relationship.
That I can get, but I wouldn't like leeching. I think isn't the right word here. Just a nitpick, but like I don't know.
I feel it. Like I've known
feel.
I mean, it could just be leeching off of her sexually, you know, like
true
being that. Very. What would you say? Unreciprocal? Would that be a word?
Non-reciprocated.
Non-reciprocants. They're replicants. That's what it is.
Yeah, parts of this still aren't explained in the I'm trying to figure out where the line is, because there's elements of this that I do want to explain, but I'm not sure how much. Like,
well, I just read down to the explanations. So.
Okay, well, we'll get there in a second. But first, we have a
what
we have to talk about Inspector Moomoo's.
It's Inspector Moomoo's, sponsor of the Fear Fiction Podcast.
Inspector Moomoo's has an L-shaped milk bar.
Da 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 da, Inspector Moomoo.
With 12 different kinds of milkshakes on tap.
I don't embrace moves. I embrace moves. I just read the explanation, too, and I don't understand it.
I, to a certain extent.
Okay.
Corner and Chair says, the intent I had in mind was that Mona and Oliver had actually staged all of Kara's suicide attempts to make her more dependent on them. How do you stage someone's suicide attempt?
I think there's a little bit of evidence there of the fact that she got really drunk and didn't remember what was happening.
Oh, right. And then they like put pills near her or something.
Well, yes.
Yeah, they said the knives I don't remember using, you know, that type of thing.
Right. Right. And, okay, that makes sense.
And same thing with
Oh fuck. Yeah. Wait a minute. She first quote unquote attempted to kill herself when she was going to be leaving to see friends in New York. And when she decided to change to another school.
Okay.
So right before she was going to do anything leaving them.
Okay, so that explains the weird character motivation of like,
yeah,
I tried to kill myself right as I decided I was going to go back to school. And it's like, what?
Yeah.
And then it makes sense. Now it makes sense. So
I decided to buy a new car. That night I shot myself in the fucking face. I don't know why.
That night I tried to hack my feet off.
God damn it. But yeah.
Yeah.
Huh. The rope was cut. What do you want to bet that she was climbing with Oliver or some shit? I don't know.
I'm into a little noosey play.
Noosey play.
Loosey noosey.
That's also a very disturbing thing, is wanting people to be dependent on you.
Right.
That is like a really weird, disturbing thing. And
you know,
by the way, when are we setting up the Patreon for Fear Fiction?
Give us money.
Cool.
Yes, I quite enjoyed this. I do always have this fear of like, am I just like enjoying this because it was written not just to my taste, but because of the project I started. But no, I think this is genuinely really interesting. I would like a few more details. Because this is supposed to be a subtle thing where maybe you don't get it the first time,
right?
There is a question of how much do you want it? Because we're getting some criticisms here that there's not enough hints, but there is enough hints to figure it out. I think so. I think you just need to push it a little more.
Yeah, the hints are there, but there needs to be like another line of dialogue or another like throwaway line of not throwaway, but like another bit of exposition of how like they were always there finding her when she had quote-unquote killed herself. I think that would have allowed like on a second pass to lead it in for that. But like I don't think I could have got that without the explanation.
I think the last line where we were confused about why the last line was saying about leeching off of her.
Yeah.
You know, that could maybe be, and you know, I always hate to tell people what to do, but you know, that maybe possibly could be rewritten in a certain way that it would give most readers like an aha moment kind of thing, where the narrator of the story doesn't necessarily have to realize it, but maybe it could mm-hmm. be phrased in a way like, you know, something like saying something like, I'm sick of you guys doing anything in your power to keep me weak or something like that, or, you know, keep me with you, or, you know, something, you know, where it would have a chance, you know, more of a chance where someone would reach that line and go, what does that mean? Oh, wait a minute. You know?
Well, right, well, yes, right, and no, because Molliver is doing this manipulation, and I think that's why I'm okay with the phrasing of, like, leeching off of Mona, I'm done. Because Kara is so confused, is, like, so manipulated that she doesn't even have, like, words to explain what's going on.
Right.
She's, like, fumbling. It's, like, leeching, yes, okay.
Yeah. Maybe Mona just made her buy milkshakes all the fucking time. And that's why. Stop leeching off me with these goddamn milkshakes.
Stop milking me with these milkshakes.
Oh, you're complaining about buying milkshakes? You gotta buy me 3 milkshakes, you know?
Yeah, I enjoyed this.
Yeah.
Yeah, good.
Good deal. Seal of approval. Ashcan Fiction would get removed from a lot of sites for quote-unquote not being horror.
Oh, yeah. We'll get removed from No Sleep in a fucking second. Mm. For sure.
I'm sorry, Corner and Chair. Your story is absolute dog shit and not allowed to be on any creepypasta site except for the Cool Kids creepypasta site. yes. Frightful failures. And then we like go back to the title. That's a good title. Mm.
That is a good title. It explains the...
Without explaining.
Yeah. It yes. explains the explaining. As all good stories do. I think that's
time to go back to my Saturday shift at Walmart.
God damn it.
This has been the Fear Fiction Podcast. Your hosts are Abysme, Dead Pallet, and Slime Beast. Music by Abysme. Art by C.F. Comer. Voiceover by Atticus Jackson. Edited by Elias the Intern. Subscribe to FearFic on YouTube to stay up to date on new episodes.
Hey, Dead Pallet here. This has been episode 8 of the Fear Fiction Podcast. We realized something a little late, but we want to fix the problem. See, we're a literary podcast, but usually people don't know what we're reading until the episode comes out. That means people can't form their own opinions first. To fix that, we're announcing that the next 2 months are all episodes where we read No Sleep stories, and we're going to tell you what those stories are so you can get a head start. So here they are. Episode 9, I Think a Ghost Has Been Leaving Steaming Piles of Shit on My Lawn. Episode 10, I Didn't Lose My Virginity, and Now I Wish I Had. Episode 11, Does Anyone Remember That Nickelodeon Cartoon from the 90s About a Sponge? Episode 12, I Found a Portal That Lets Me Be in John Malkovich's Head. Episode 13, I Met a Ghost and I'm Scared of Him. Episode 14, After What Happened, I'll Never Do That Thing Again. Episode 15, I'm colorblind, but I think I can smell red after meeting the devil. And episode 16, I used to be an atheist, but I found a skeleton under the ice rink that I run my novelty Zamboni on. Well, there you have it. Now you can keep up on what we're going to be reading in the near future. See you next week.
Hey, did you like that video? If you liked that video, be sure to hit the subscribe button, and then ding the bell, and then light the candle, and then...
No. What video? Oh, yeah. There was no video.
That's true. That's true.
Did you like our voices?
Did you...
I mean, not what we were saying, but like just the sonic tones coming out of our mouths. Don't listen to what we're saying. We're done.
ASMR presentation. I know it.
Yeah, I enjoyed it as well, and I was part of it
halfway through.
Yes, you can hit that red subscribe button, and then you can make sure to go see this week's movie sponsor, The Shining, in theater everywhere.
In theaters everywhere 20 years ago.
30.
Probably,
yeah.
40?
Good God.
Well, whatever, fucking sequel's being made into a movie now, so it's coming back.
yes, the sequel to The Shining, Ghosts at a Watchman.
In theaters this weekend, The Shining 2, an all-female cast starring Kristen Wiig move into a house.
No, they're lesbian parents.
Lesbian parenting parents.
A little girl.
Lesbian parents with their transgender daughter Donna, who move into a haunted hotel, and
full of
hilarity
Mindos.
Ensues.
Hilarity, yes. Well, it does make sense since lesbians have a higher rate of domestic violence.
That's true. Oof.
Yeah, I love Abysmes. Oof.
Don't forget to subscribe.
And there goes all the
don't forget stars. To beat that subscribe button.
God damn it, there go all our domestically abusive lesbian listeners. bye, Caitlin. You know who you are.
That was fucking amazing.